Hey everybody, Stephen here. Hope you're going super well. In today's episode, I want to talk about my three favorite things about the way my mind works. These are three things that I see as real benefits. Now, are they 1000% dyslexic? I think they definitely fit in the dyslexic ADHD kind of realm. And if you've listened to the previous podcast, you'll have a bit of a picture of why I believe they're very closely linked. Let's dive into the pod. Okay, so let's dive into this episode. Now, the three things I'm going to talk about today are from my personal perspective. Everyone is going to have different things that they love and they enjoy. And not every dyslexic has the exact same makeup. So if you're not exactly like me, that's fine. Maybe you relate to two of these. Maybe you relate to one of these that you really notice. There could also be a couple of these that you don't even notice in your own life. And maybe just listening to them, you might just start paying a little bit more attention. And you might be able to grow them. You know, I was listening to a podcast recently, and they used a really great visual quote. And I want to say it was someone called Ruben Steiner said this, an Australian psychologist, I believe. And he said, you don't grow a plant, you grow the soil. And I found that really profound in the fact that you can't force a plant to grow. No matter how hard you look at a seedling and you look at it and you go, grow, you can't force it, right? All you can do is put it into fertile soil. You can water the soil. You can make sure the soil has nutrients. You can make sure the soil has light. And the more you work on the soil and the environment for the seed, the plant grows and it can grow really well. Does that make sense? Like the energy or the power of the plant is only as good as the environment, the love, I think it really got me thinking is the more aware you are, the more you can put into that environment, you know, the more we grow as people. So with this podcast, I want to talk about three things that I really love, because one of these you might grab onto and you might want to grow. You might want to nourish the soil around it to make yourself, you know, really see the benefits of it. So let's dive in. Now, the first is my empathetic and intuitive nature. Now, for people that are dyslexic, for those that are ADHD, we naturally have a really amazing intuition, emotional, empathetic kind of, I say empathetic, empathy, is that a word? I don't know. Empathetic nature, but we can feel a lot of things really easily. Now, I'm sure there are a bunch of people sitting here going, I hate how empathetic I am. I can feel all the pain around me and it gets overwhelming and I just want to hide under the covers, eat ice cream, watch Netflix, and hide. And I have that side from time to time. Don't get me wrong. But I also have the good part about that is that I can feel what someone needs when I'm around them. I can sometimes even catch myself from doing the wrong thing, from trying to fix people with words. I can even sometimes learn to be quiet and just let them be. I think it's something that I've built on and I've grown. I've had to plant that part of myself in soil because I used to have this ability, but I had it from the negative perspective for a very long time, and the fact that I could feel when people were angry, frustrated, and I would kind of let that, for a better word, charge energy into myself too easily. But over time, I've learned to harness that ability because it is an ability, and it's, if you don't know how to use it, it's negative, right? You know, if you live in a place that rains a lot but don't understand how rain works, it's just really annoying. But if you start to understand how valuable water is in your environment, you know, and you could start to build dams and filters and, you know, use it for different things, the power of it, like, there's a lot you can do with water. So it's the same with this. It's a really amazing power is to be this intuitive. You know, over time, I trust my gut more and less my head. The more I trust my gut, the better my life is. The more I trust my head, the more I overthink things. A good example of this was the other day, I looked in my diary and my team had booked two meetings, a 2-hour meeting and a 1-hour meeting back to back. And that, hey, there's a part of me that goes, oh, that's going to be hard. That's a lot of energy. If you've ever done two meetings like that without any time between, no time to write notes, no time to think about it, causes a lot of stress. And I'm like, oh gosh, I need to do it. My head was saying, you need to do it. It's booked in, it's there. And I just felt this thing in my gut saying, this is your life. You choose what happens. You tell one of the groups that they're moved to the afternoon. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to that. And so I did it. They were fine with the move. I moved the 1-hour meeting later, and the day went super well. And I was like, if I'd listened to my head, if I'd got into my thoughts, it wouldn't have worked. But because I listened to my gut, it was fantastic. And that comes with time. It comes with experience. I don't get it right all the time. It's a consistent practice to lean into my empathy and my intuition. So that's number one. The second is I love how I link unrelated things. I guess I'd call this creativity. Someone once said creativity is not about creating anything new. It's about taking two new ideas, mashing them together, and creating a mishmash that just works for a specific purpose. And that's pretty true, right? There's nothing new. When you really look at Facebook, it wasn't new. It was just offline community and people talking, mashed with online technology. And when it first started, the idea was, how can we take a university community and put it in a place where everyone can interact without the physical connection? So they mashed the internet with students in a community scene. They mashed a bunch of stuff together to create it. So nothing is new. That was a really big idea for me when I learned that. But what I love is that if I'm in a creative session, if someone goes, here's what I'm trying to achieve, and this is the problem, I love looking at it from 1,000 different angles. I love having 100 terrible ideas and then finding that one that's great. I love looking at the world in a new way in my head and pulling it apart, putting it back together. I think it was Thomas Edison that said he used to pull things apart in his head, put them back together, pull them apart, and he'd basically build new inventions without ever leaving his mind. And when he actually got to creating them, he, bar a few that were a bit challenging, like the light bulb, he could pretty much come up with something that was a lot further along in the development cycle than someone starting from scratch with his hands. And I found that really valuable to think about. And that's part of my career. I love doing workshops and facilitating things with people. It's why I'm a good coach, or I think I'm a good coach. People seem to tell me that, but I love helping people see things from different angles and gluing a couple of things together that changes the way they think about a situation. So it's really powerful. So I love that part of my dyslexia, and I find that really awesome. Now, the third and final part I wanted to really look at is something that, again, I was quite surprised recently is such a big thing people don't think about, which is visualization. You may have learned visualization, you may have heard of it. Visualize what you want in your life and you will have it, and you've thought about it fleetingly and let it go. A lot of the Confident Dyslexic course, a chunk of it, we teach, well, one of the parts of it is teaching how to use visualization and why it works for the dyslexic mind. Like, our minds are preferenced to working super well in the visual space, right? Our mind would rather be in the 3D visual world than in the 2D symbolic world, like numbers, letters on the page. It's just easier for it to process. Even if you can read numbers and letters, it would still rather be in the visual space. It's just more relaxing, it's less stressing. It's really powerful, if you can harness it. But I'm always amazed at how many people don't know how to do that. Because it's like night and day when you learn it. And I've talked about this on podcasts gone, about every year I visualize what I want in the year to come true. And for the last 2, maybe 3 years, I've had a over 100% hit rate. And it's amazing when you start to learn how to do it and understand it and do it on a daily basis. Sometimes it's a weekly, a monthly, sometimes it's a 3 monthly, sometimes it's, a momentary basis. You know, when I go into a meeting and I visualize the meeting already succeeding before I walk in the door, that's me using my visual preference and saying, hey, I trust myself. And this takes a bit of time. Some people look at that and go, I don't trust myself. And that's the other part of the Confident Dyslexic course where we teach you through that. But it's the visualization side is a key part of it. You know, we struggle sometimes to work out what we want and we borrow that from other people. But I love how my mind naturally finds visualization so easy. I love recreating things in my mind and using it not to struggle with perfection. Again, it's another thing we look at because we all struggle with that, right? But using my visualization not for perfection, but for creation. And when we realize the power of our minds and bodies and everything that we've created in our lives already, and we work out that our mind prefers to be shown a picture of what you want and then let it go loose to go and get it for you, it's really, really powerful. And I love that part of being dyslexic. I don't think dyslexics are the only one with this power, but I do find that we would be a higher proportion in the population that use this power correctly or find it easier to use. There's less training involved because we're, if you think about that really fit athlete, I always look at LeBron James, and there's a guy in New Zealand called Sonny Bill Williams. There's a few of these people that just look like they were born to play their sport, and they find it easy. Their brains work that way. Their bodies are crafted by God. It's just remarkable. Do you know what I mean? Like really crafted by Zeus or something. And they're just designed for a certain sport. Dyslexics are like that for visualization. Zeus has gone, you have got the gift of this. It's your choice if you use it or not, but it's there. And for me, I find that super powerful. So that's what I wanted to share today, guys. Those are the three things that for me personally that are massive. They do get mixed up over time. They change. But in this moment, those three stand out to me as being powerful. And I hope one, maybe all of them are things you can see in yourself to even a small point. But what I would say is, which one would you like to grow more? Which one would you like to fertilize the soil around and let show you itself, right? I'm sure you can picture that little plant. How big are your plants for those three? Anyway, have an epic rest of your day. If you're not in the group, make sure you're in the group. There's some links in the podcast notes, and I'll be back next week.